Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, October 5th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the fallout continues from our Bloomberg exclusive on Chinese hackers infiltrating U.S. companies.
Technology stocks in Asia tumble following yesterday's 1.8% decline for the NASDAQ.
And shares of Tesla slump as Elon Musk takes to Twitter to mock the SEC.
Look for a procedural vote on Judge Kavanaugh today in the Senate with a full vote tomorrow. I'm John Tucker. That story straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschke. Coming up in sports, the Isles and Rangers split a pair, the NL baseball playoffs, and Tom Brady reaches another milestone.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Friday morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
U.S. futures and European equities are lower after stocks in Asia continued their sell-off at 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are now down about 1.5 points, trimming their declines. Dow futures down 13, NASDAQ futures down the same. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%, CAC in Paris down almost 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.8%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32nds, yield 3.20%, yield on the 2-year 2.88%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6%, or 47 cents, to $74.80 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3%, or $4.10, at $12.05.80 an ounce. And this update brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com. Nathan.
Karen, we are watching the technology sector this morning with tech stocks in Asia falling on the heels of yesterday's 1.8% loss for the NASDAQ, all coming after our Bloomberg exclusive on Chinese hackers infiltrating nearly 30 U.S. companies. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
Nathan and Karen, Lenovo in Hong Kong led the declines, falling as much as 23%, the most in almost a decade, while ZTE also plunged. Taiwan chipmakers were punished too, sending the TAIEX to a five-month low, while Japanese tech stocks saw the Nikkei close lower by 0.8% in Tokyo. The MSCI Asia Pacific Infotech Index hit its lowest level since July 2017 as investors digested the Bloomberg report, contributing to a fifth straight loss on the overall MSCI Asia-Pacific Index. As for China markets, well, they've been closed since last Friday for Golden Week celebrations. Our MLive strategists say watch for a mother of a hangover come Monday when price action plays catch-up. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Comments from Vice President Mike Pence are also adding to concerns from our report on China hacking U.S. computer networks. Bloomberg's Mark Bergen has more from Hong Kong.
The market's bracing for what could be a seismic shift in how the supply chain works for electronics. The news that came out yesterday, coupled with Vice President Pence in the U.S., gave a pretty damning speech about China, in which he accused him of flagrantly stealing American tech. And there's this expectation that might change both how U.S. companies buy semiconductors and suppliers across Asia, as well as the U.S. government, which is also a major purchaser.
In that speech yesterday, Vice President Pence criticized Chinese economic, commercial, and diplomatic policies.
Now, it wasn't all doom and gloom for tech in Asia yesterday. Samsung reported earnings that topped estimates. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel has more on that.
Resilient, that's the best way to describe Samsung's memory chip sales in the third quarter, and that could ease concern about a potential drop-off in chip demand that's been long predicted. Memory chips helped Samsung's operating profit rise to another record last quarter. Still, this could be the peak for operating profit as contract prices for 32-gigabit DRAM server modules fell last quarter for the first time since 2016. And there's concern, too, about smartphone demand. Handset sales have been sluggish amid challenges from Chinese rivals. Stephen Engel, Bloomberg News, Hong Kong.
Stephen, thank you. Toyota recalling more than 2 million Prius hybrids on the risk that a software malfunction could end in a crash. About 1.2 million of the cars affected are in Japan, and more than 800,000 are in North America. It's one of the largest recalls for Toyota not related to Takata airbags.
We have a rate decision from the Reserve Bank of India. The central bank unexpectedly kept its benchmark rate unchanged at 6.5%. It also announced a change to its monetary policy stance to, quote, calibrated tightening from a neutral position.
Here in the U.S., we get the September payrolls report at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, with economists forecasting a gain of 185,000 jobs. With a preview, here's a Bloomberg International Economics and Policy correspondent, Michael McKee.
Neither rain nor winds nor floods are likely to keep the Fed from its essentially appointed round of a rate hike in December, even if those things do affect the September jobs report. The big question is the impact Hurricane Florence has on the data. It struck North and South Carolina during the payroll survey week, late in the week, which likely means it won't reduce the jobs numbers much. Workers only have to do some paid work during the week to count, but it may lower hours worked and affect average hourly earnings. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you for delivering that report, Michael. On the corporate front, shares of Tesla are down more than 2% in early trading after the latest tweet from CEO Elon Musk. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has that.
Musk insulted the Securities and Exchange Commission 5 days after settling a fraud lawsuit brought by the agency, potentially imperiling a settlement that allows him to stay as Tesla's CEO. The chief executive officer called the SEC, quote, the short seller enrichment commission, and chastised the regulator for doing, quote, incredible work. The Post risks jeopardizing a settlement reached last weekend in which Musk agreed to step down as chairman within 45 days and be replaced with an independent board director. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Unilever is abandoning a plan to leave the UK for a single headquarters in the Netherlands. The move follows mounting opposition from fund managers who faced having to sell Unilever shares once the company dropped out of benchmark UK stock indexes.
And the pound is strengthening for a second day after a Reuters report saying the EU and UK are close to a Brexit deal. The report cites EU sources who say a divorce deal is, quote, very close. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen and Nathan. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm John Tucker with other stories we're watching this morning. Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation is close. A Senate vote scheduled for 10:30 Wall Street time this morning will decide if he has enough support to win approval, in which case the chamber will hold a final ballot tomorrow. Key Republican holdouts Jeff Flake and Susan Collins said an FBI investigation prompted by sexual misconduct allegations against Kavanaugh appear to be thorough. Here's Flake.
Thus far, we've seen no incredible corroboration.
Brett Kavanaugh, meantime, is out with an opinion article in the Wall Street Journal. More on that end of the story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
He begins by saying he might have been too emotional in last week's hearing. He says it reflected his overwhelming frustration at being wrongly accused without corroboration of horrible conduct contrary to his record and character. He says, quote, I know that my tone was sharp, and I said a few things I should not have said. I hope everyone can understand that I was there as a son, husband, and dad. I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Justice Department has indicted seven Russian intelligence operatives on cybercrime charges. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis in Brussels for a meeting with NATO defense ministers says Russia needs to be held accountable.
The Russians got caught with their equipment, people who were doing it, and they have got to pay the piper.
The announcement comes after the Dutch government said earlier in the day that it had stopped one of those attacks back in April, catching four Russian spies in the act. The Trump administration warns that too much of the U.S. defense industry is dependent on China or vulnerable to hacking directed by Beijing as part of a mounting campaign to pressure the Chinese government. And if Secretary of State Pompeo leaves today for North Korea, with U.S. disarmament demands increasingly undermined by calls for sanctions relief and President Trump's push for a second summit with Kim Jong-un. Global news 24 hours a day on the air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. And it's 6:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, John. The Islanders and Rangers open their season, yet earn different results.
Up with it is Barzell. Pulock with some room. Walks into it. Gives back to Barzell. Barzell steps. Feeds it across. Bailey scores! Josh Bailey, the overtime winner! And game one goes to the Islanders.
MSG on the call as the Isles beat Carolina 2-1 on the road in overtime. Thomas Greiss, the hero in the pipes, 45 saves. Rangers not as fortunate, falling 3-2 at home to PK Subban and the Nashville Predators. Subban was one of three Preds to score. All three local teams are off on Friday. Baseball playoffs. The National League took center stage as the Brewers walked off the Rockies in game one of the NLDS, 3-2 at Miller Park. Mike Moustakas, the game-winning single. Dodgers crushed the Braves 6-0 at Dodger Stadium in game one of their series. Hyun-Jun Ryu tossed 7 scoreless innings for LA, striking out 8. Yankees Red Sox kick off the ALDS tonight from Fenway Park. Jay Happ meets Chris Sale. Yankees skipper Aaron Boone.
Tarpley and CeCe will take the place of Wade and Higashioka. No lineup yet. Tanaka will go in game two.
First pitch is 7:30. In NFL Week 5 kicked off in New England, Tom Brady getting help on the ground.
Hand off to the left. Big hole. Running left, Michelle breaks the tackle. Down the left sideline. Michelle takes it all the way. Touchdown, New England.
Westwood One on the call. Patriots beat the Colts 38-24. Brady threw 3 touchdowns, number 500, becoming just the third player to reach that milestone, joining Brett Favre and Peyton Manning. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, thanks, Rob. And tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show. That's when we speak to the president of the Atlanta Braves. Derek Schiller talks about stadium finance and real estate. All tonight at 8. Also tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio and online as an Apple podcast on iTunes. On this Jobs Day, we have futures right now pairing their earlier losses. Still down, though, in the red. S&P futures are down 1 point. The Dow futures right now are 7 points lower, and the NASDAQ E-mini futures are down 11 points. Just ahead, we'll talk about Jobs Day with Bloomberg economist Carl Riccadonna. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation is close. A Senate vote scheduled for 10:30 a.m. will decide if he has enough support to win approval. The U.S. defense industry is too dependent on China and vulnerable to hacking. That's according to the White House, which says all facets of the manufacturing and defense industrial base are under threat. The escalating face-off with China sent Asia tech stocks reeling today. Lenovo sank 15%, while ZTE slid 11% after a Bloomberg exclusive said Chinese spies infiltrated almost 30 U.S. companies. And Hurricane Florence may impact today's labor report. Consensus calls for 185,000 new jobs in September. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, thank you, Erin. And U.S. stock index futures trimming their declines. S&P futures now little change. Dow futures down 3, NASDAQ futures down 10, and the 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 3.20%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. The Senate poised to take a critical vote this morning to advance Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. And a confirmation vote in the full Senate may come tomorrow. And Kavanaugh wrote in an opinion article that he might have been too emotional and said a few things I should not have said during last week's Senate hearing. Rescuers were unable to find the possible sign of life they detected a day earlier under hotel rubble, a week after that destructive earthquake and tsunami struck Indonesia's Sulawesi Island. The double disasters killed more than 1,500 people and left hundreds buried in mud and debris. Sports, the Patriots beat the Colts in Thursday night football. On the ice, the Capitals topped the Penguins. The Rangers lost to the Predators. Major League Baseball action, playoff action. The Dodgers and Brewers both win their first games in the National League Division Series. And, of course, the Yankees and Red Sox, they face off in Boston tonight. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street, and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's look ahead to today's jobs report now. Carl Riccadonna, the chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Economics, joins us in the studio. September payrolls report might be a little clouded. May I say that?
Sure, if we're going to use puns. But in all seriousness, there will likely be a significant hurricane impact in the report. It's not just the jobs number. The Hurricane Florence made landfall during the September employment survey week, and based on our analysis,
that was kind of in an area that I was going to say it's not as densely populated
or as significant as an industrial base, for example, compared to Hurricane Harvey last year in Houston. So we won't look for a dramatic swing. Mind you, last year, payroll swung into negative territory in September because we had Harvey, Irma, Maria all making landfall between late August and late September. So it's a smaller impact this time around. Nonetheless, it can distort the signal. So looking at past Carolina hurricanes, I think we could bump off of the trend by about 15,000 to 25,000.
But then the next months, you get a big payback, right?
We should get a big payback from construction and whatnot. But it's not just the payroll number that gets impacted. It could also have an impact on hours, so the length of the work week, aggregate hours, workers who had a shortened work week due to inclement weather. All of those series should be distorted by this storm. And because of that, then we could also see a bit of head fake in average hourly earnings, which is that labor inflation metric in this report that really gets folks' attention. That would be particularly disturbing considering the upside surprise we saw last month. And if we recall, earlier this year was a Groundhog's Day jobs report back in early February. We had an upward surprise on average hourly earnings, and it really disrupted the stability in the markets at the time. I think that's a risk today, given this backup in Treasury yields that we've been watching over the course of this week.
And all of what you just said is why we prefer to look at the trends.
Exactly. So focus on the underlying trend, and very quickly after the jobs report comes out, we have to try to estimate, well, what would the payroll number have been without the hurricane distortion? And more importantly, what would that average hourly earnings number be without the storm distortion?
But we're going gangbusters is the bottom line.
The economy is doing extremely well. And if anything, I would say, when we looked at the Q2 GDP numbers with a 4 as the first number in that report, it certainly looked like the perfect combination of unique factors that pushed growth that far above the underlying trend. It looks like the momentum is carrying over into Q3 to a greater degree than a lot of economists, ourselves included, anticipated. That doesn't mean we get another 4% quarter, but the economy certainly is on a very sturdy footing heading into the second half of the year.
Okay, since I can find another job out there, is my current employer going to start paying me more? I'm talking about me.
Well, it's based on performance,
yeah,
John.
Okay.
Based on performance. But what we are seeing, recall last month we saw the average hourly earnings number extend to a post-recession high of 2.9% year-on-year. So we are finally starting to see evidence that the labor market has gotten tight enough that workers have more bargaining power and wage pressures are starting to pick up. It doesn't mean the pot is boiling over, but we are starting to see that expected trade-off between lower unemployment and higher wage pressures. It's flatter than cycles past, to be sure.
And as you're talking, the futures actually have turned to green right now. One of the things that's really popping off the Bloomberg screen continues to be, you know where I'm going with this, but the interest rates, the benchmark 10-year right now, 3.2%. How does that figure into these economic reports, if at all?
Well, it certainly figures into these economic reports because if we're looking at stronger growth and more inflation, themes this week when we saw the strength in the non-manufacturing ISM on Wednesday, that seemed to be the catalyst of this most recent leg up in interest rates. If we're seeing strong employment gains, evidence that wage inflation is picking up to a greater degree, that's going to augur for higher interest rates across the board as it justifies a more aggressive Fed and also higher market-determined interest rates rates further out on the curve. That's exactly what we saw this week with the 2-year and 10-year both moving higher, albeit more so in the long end of the curve.
Okay, 3.8% unemployment, 185 payrolls. Where do you come down?
I'm a little bit lower. I'm 175 on payrolls. I think average hourly earnings surprises a tenth higher than consensus expectations, so put me up for 0.4.
Okay, we're going to hold you to it. Carl Riccadonna, Bloomberg U.S. Economist, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're brought to you by National Realty, developers at Prime, New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate, up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European equities are lower after stocks in Asia finished the week with another slump. Tech shares in Asia tumbled following our Bloomberg exclusive on Chinese hackers infiltrating nearly 30 U.S. companies.
10-year Treasury yields are holding near 7-year highs, and the dollar is steady ahead of today's U.S. employment report. We get that data at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, with economists forecasting a gain of 185,000 jobs in September. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
Over the short haul, the data could be affected by the impact of Hurricane Florence. Over the longer haul, the outlook remains bright. Bloomberg Economics says payroll gains in excess of the labor market's natural growth rate should nudge unemployment even lower. Weekly claims for unemployment benefits are the lowest since the late 1960s. Moreover, job openings are running at record levels, with the economy adding jobs at an average monthly pace of 207,000 since the start of 2018. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Shares of Tesla are down 2% in early trading after another tweet from Elon Musk. The CEO is targeting the SEC, mocking the institution by calling it, quote, the Short Seller Enrichment Commission. This comes less than a week after Musk settled with the SEC, and that deal has yet to be finalized.
Shares of Danske Bank are down 9% in Copenhagen after the head of Denmark's Financial Supervisory Authority said the bank needs to prepare for potential fines in the wake of its money laundering scandal.
Unilever abandoning a plan to leave the UK for a single headquarters in the Netherlands. The move follows mounting opposition from fund managers who faced having to sell Unilever shares once the company dropped out of benchmark UK stock indexes.
It is 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report brought to you by Cboe. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 14.22. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 14.34. That is this morning's Volatility Report.
Let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, and U.S. stock index futures are erasing their declines. S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures up 6 now. NASDAQ futures down about 12. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. Again, the 10-year Treasury down 5/32. The yield 3.20%. The yield on the 2-year 2.88%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 29 cents to $74.62 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $4.40 to $12.06 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1496. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And thanks, Karen and Nathan from Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York. I'm John Tucker with more of the other stories we're watching this morning. Look for a procedural vote on Judge Kavanaugh this morning in the Senate with a full vote tomorrow. Today's initial vote will determine if he has enough support for approval. If it goes in Kavanaugh's favor, that would all but ensure he'll be seated on the Supreme Court just a week after his prospects were in doubt. On Saturday afternoon, the chamber would hold a final vote. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is leading the charge.
There's no way anything we did would satisfy the Democrats. They've always got a reason why the goalposts need to be moved.
Moscow is disputing the release of new evidence from the West that charges that Russian military spies engaged in widespread hacking of foreign investigators who were looking into a wide array of criminal activities. The suspected Russian wrongdoing that brought intrusions, including the downing of a plane, doping, and poisoning. Moscow lashing back with allegations that the Pentagon runs a clandestine U.S. biological weapons program. Voters in Brazil head to the polls this weekend to elect a new president. The polls currently show a tight race between two of the 13 candidates. Bloomberg's Julia Leite reports from Sao Paulo.
The frontrunner is Jair Bolsonaro, a former army captain known for his controversial statements on minorities. His main opponent is Fernando Haddad, who took over as the candidate for the Workers' Party after former President Lula was barred from running due to a corruption conviction. Bolsonaro's team vows to privatize state-run companies and run a smaller state. Haddad's camp, on the other hand, wants to jumpstart the economy by boosting government spending, scrapping a cap that's currently in place. Investors see the conservative Bolsonaro as a better bet to push through with the fiscal reforms Brazil needs to fix its accounts. Julia Leite, São Paulo, Bloomberg.
And it probably won't help his popularity. The French president is criticizing the French. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Greg Viscuzzi in Paris.
Emmanuel Macron likes to pride himself on running a disciplined, tight ship, but the past few days have been anything but. The resignation of his interior minister late Tuesday isn't damaging in itself, but his departure was strung out over several days. And 2 days later, it still isn't clear if he'll simply be replaced or if the French president will do a larger cabinet reshuffle. All that as recent polls show Macron remains unpopular. And in the latest episode of Not Keeping His Views to Himself, Macron once again complained about the French, this time saying they complain too much. In Paris, Gregory Viscuzzi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. And it's 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. And here's Rob Buschke.
Good morning, John. The Islanders took it to the Carolina Hurricanes 2-1 in overtime on the road, thanks to 45 saves in net for Thomas Greiss. Josh Bailey, the game winner. Rangers dumped at home 3-2 by P.K. Subban and the Nashville Predators. Subban had a goal, and Pekka Rinne had 34 saves. Hank Lundqvist had 30 in a losing cause. All three local teams take the night off. Yankees, however, do not. It's game one versus the best record in baseball, the Red Sox, from Fenway Park. Yankees manager Aaron Boone.
Arguably as whole as we've been all season long, and with the additions that we're able to make, we feel like we're a really good club right now. We played pretty well down the stretch the last week or 10 days or so when we needed to play well.
Jay Happ battles Chris Sale at 7:30. Game one of both NLDSs go to the home teams as the Dodgers blast the Braves 6-0. Hyunjin Ryu tossed 7 scoreless innings, fanning 8. Brewers, they sent the faithful home with a smile in Milwaukee.
The 0-2. Swing, a line drive, base hit right field. Mike Moustakas on a 2-strike pitch. A single to right, and the Brewers have taken game one.
Brewers radio NL MVP candidate Christian Yelich went 2-for-3 and drove in a pair. And NFL Week 5 kicked off with another milestone for Tom Brady.
To launch a long, high-arcing pass to the end zone. Caught by Gordon in the right side of the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Patriots radio 38-24. They beat the Colts. Brady joins Brett Favre and Peyton Manning as the only three QBs to throw for 500 touchdowns. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, thanks, Rob. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Since becoming France's president last year, Emmanuel Macron has made bold moves. He has modernized the economy by relaxing labor rules, reducing taxes for entrepreneurs, and making the higher education system more meritocratic. His government's new budget includes the biggest tax cuts introduced in France in more than a decade. Yet the public remains unimpressed. Macron's approval rating has been sliding for months, threatening to stall his reform agenda. It's vital for France's competitiveness and for Europe's future that Macron regain his footing. He certainly shouldn't temper his reformist ambitions, but he would be wise to adjust his political style, showing that he understands the daily struggles of voters, even when they disagree with his remedies. The charge that Macron is a defender of privilege is false, but this smart and charismatic leader is more likely to succeed if he works harder to refute it. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. The House Ways and Means Committee and its tax agenda could be in for some big changes in the next Congress. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Six Republican and two Democratic members are not returning next year, and at least three GOP members are in tight races in the upcoming elections.
It substantially alters the membership of the Ways and Means Committee, the Tax Writing Committee, and it could have an impact for years to come.
Bloomberg tax reporter Sue Basu says if Democrats take control, their focus will likely be on urban issues like the earned income tax credit or the child tax credit, while Republican control would mean different priorities.
Refocus on the 2017 tax law, try to make corrections and kind of boost and bolster it.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
And time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Is oil's march higher and potential rebound toward $100 a barrel good news or bad? It's actually coming at just the right time for automakers investing billions in the switch to electric cars. Fuel prices reached a four-year high last month, concentrating consumers' minds on the relative costs of internal combustion versus electric motors. For companies preparing to bring a record number of electric and hybrid models to market next year, oil's rally could turbocharge demand. As the chairman of Renault and Nissan, Carlos Ghosn, sees it, the higher price of oil, the more tailwind car makers are going to have behind electric cars. He spoke at the Paris Motor Show this week. As well as rising gasoline prices and a rapidly growing global lineup of new models, progress on the infrastructure needed to keep plug-in vehicles on the road will speed up in 2019. From utilities to, yes, oil companies, a flood of money is being poured into roadside charging networks. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thanks, Bob. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're brought to you by Columbia Bank with 48 locations across New Jersey. You're never far from their wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking, mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and it is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning trimming their declines. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are quiet right now. Dow futures higher by 3 points. S&Ps are down 2, and Nasdaq futures declined by 14. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.2%. Gold and oil are higher. And Japan fell 0.8% overnight. Well, European markets are also under pressure, led by 1% declines in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, change in non-farm payrolls estimate 185,000. Unemployment rate estimate 3.8%. After the bell last night, Costco EPS was in line. And in deal news, the New York Post reported Kraft Heinz reviewed Campbell Soup's financials in recent weeks and was not interested in a purchase. Wrapping things up, Eli Lilly was upgraded to outperform at BMO. Eastman Chemical downgraded to neutral at JP Morgan, and High Crush Partners downgraded to neutral over at UBS. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen.
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. The Senate is poised to take a critical vote this morning to advance Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. A confirmation vote in the full Senate may come tomorrow. And Brett Kavanaugh writes in an opinion article that he might have been too emotional and said a few things I should not have said during last week's Senate hearing. And this year's Nobel Peace Prize goes to Dennis Kouwagi and Nadia Murad for their efforts to stop the use of sexual violence as a weapon of war. Murad's harrowing personal account highlighted the suffering of 3,000 girls and women at the hands of Mukweges. They stood up to the Congolese government and other countries for not doing enough to stop the use of rape as a strategy in armed conflict. And in Bloomberg Sports, the Patriots beat the Colts in Thursday night football. On the ice, the Capitals lost to the Penguins. They lost to the Penguins while the Rangers lost to the Predators. Major League Baseball action, the Dodgers and Brewers both won first games in their National League Division Series. The Yankees and Red Sox, they face off in Boston tonight. And finally, Nathan, from Bloomberg Daybreak on this day in history. Harry Truman delivered the first televised presidential address from the Oval Office. That was back in 1947, and the rest is history.
Yeah, what was it like, John?
He appealed to the conscience of Americans reveling in the post-war boom.
Oh,
Nathan.
Wow, your memory's holding pretty steady there. Good for you.
Global news. Let me get out of this. 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Philo T. Farnsworth. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check in with what's going on in D.C. Among the top stories in our nation's capital, of course, the Senate set to take a procedural vote within hours on Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The U.S. pressing Japan to cede more ground on trade ahead of the first round of talks on tariff reductions. And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo travels to North Korea. For more on these and other stories, Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us. Happy Friday, Kathleen. So get us up to date on the timeline for the Kavanaugh nomination. I guess the first vote's coming up in just a few hours here.
Yeah, about 10:30 Eastern time is when the Senate will vote on invoking cloture on Kavanaugh's nomination, which is really just fancy Senate speak for limiting debate. And basically what that means is if he overcomes that hurdle and his nomination moves forward, that would set a maximum of 30 hours of debate, which means there would be a final vote no later than tomorrow on his confirmation. So basically this is kind of the moment of truth in the Senate, where these holdout Republicans that haven't said firmly which way they're going to vote, this is when they're going to have to give an indication of that this morning when they vote in this initial kind of test procedural vote that the Senate's planning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've gotten some indications of where those key swing Republicans we've been talking about for so many days and weeks now might fall, now that they've seen that FBI report. Jeff Flake and Susan Collins both saying it appears thorough. Now we're going to see whether that translates into a yes vote.
Yeah, I think the people that have been, like myself, who've sort of been watching them very closely and trying to read the tea leaves, seem to extrapolate from that they may be leaning towards supporting him, which if both Flake and Collins did that would give him the votes that he needs to be confirmed, assuming that everyone else, you know, goes along party lines. I think that, you know, however, I think about a week ago when, you know, we saw Jeff Flake change his mind in the middle of a committee markup.
Right.
And, you know, I think this could be a nail biter, and certainly people will watch it closely and, you know, it's not over till it's over.
Yeah, like there's not enough must-see TV and must-listen radio coming out of Washington. But let's turn to geopolitics, and we're getting some tough words for China from Vice President Mike Pence. Here's what he said yesterday.
Chinese security agencies have masterminded the wholesale theft of American technology, including cutting-edge military blueprints. And using that stolen technology, the Chinese Communist Party is turning plowshares into swords on a massive scale.
Wow, those are some significant words from Pence. We don't usually hear this kind of tough talk in public from the administration.
Yeah, this is really, I think it would be fair to characterize it as, you know, the harshest, most high-level criticism of China from a U.S. official in quite some time. I think that it's significant, you know, in a lot of ways, but primarily two, one of which is that, you know, this is where we're seeing the administration very, very clearly connect the dots between an argument that it's made a long time, that China's trade issues, and that the U.S.-China, the trade war that the U.S. is waging against China is being waged on national security grounds. I think Pence yesterday outlined that case more clearly than it's been outlined before. And I also think that it's significant because here we are a month out of the midterms, and we're seeing a very high-level speech dedicated at China's potential to meddle, you know, in U.S. democracy, when Russia has really been the focus of a lot of this and widely seen as the culprit in 2016. And there's been no similar move by someone at the Trump-Pence level to condemn them publicly.
Yeah, not only getting warnings about China meddling in democracy, but we're also getting warnings that the U.S. military could be at risk from Beijing.
Yeah, and that's where I think, you know, this report that kind of this report that came out yesterday that was commissioned, commissioned by Trump but led by the Defense Department, basically provided some backup to some of the claims that Pence talked about in his speech and, you know, kind of, again, connected these dots between the idea of, you know, what China is doing and a national security threat, and kind of making the case that Trump has been making rhetorically for a while, which is that China does pose a national security threat to the U.S. in part through some of its trade practices.
And as the administration ratchets up the rhetoric against China, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is headed across the Pacific to North Korea once again.
Yeah, this should be an interesting meeting. Pompeo is going over to try to negotiate the terms potentially of a second summit between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. I think what's interesting, though, really, is that despite the White House's protestations, it's not like Pompeo has a whole lot of leverage going into this meeting. North Korea so far really hasn't taken a lot of concrete steps to denuclearize. And, you know, there have actually been some reports that they've been building up their nuclear stockpiles. And so I think that the question here is, you know, what Pompeo is really going to be able to achieve in this meeting. And I think the looking at it on the front end, it doesn't look like the outlook is very, very positive for him. It's going to be a tough meeting, maybe.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks for that. As always, enjoy the weekend. You can read much more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder to follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio. You have that option in Washington by tuning into Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is coming up now on 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. There are two partisan temptations to avoid when thinking about a strong economy. The party in power assumes it's all it's doing. The other party, that it's not really that strong. Both sides are currently falling for these temptations. Some Democrats are claiming that under President Trump, wages have been falling for middle-income Americans. You have to make some dubious statistical choices to back up that claim. Republicans, meanwhile, suggest that Trump has turned the economy around. It's true we've recently had some quarters of high economic growth, but we had similar stretches under President Obama. We do not yet have any evidence of a major shift in the economic trends. Democrats can fairly argue that Trump inherited a growing economy and that wage growth for most workers has decelerated. Republicans would have a reasonable case if they contented themselves with pointing out the signs of economic strength and arguing that their policies will strengthen future growth. But political partisans on either side will rarely settle for the truth. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. We are watching shares of GoPro this morning, up 7.4% right now after saying its Hero 7 Black camera model had the best first week of retail sales in the company's history. Also watching Snap, up 3.7% after its CEO gave a directive to achieve full-year profitability in 2019. Futures this morning, they are little changed. They were lower for much of the morning. They have since trimmed their declines. S&P futures down a point. Dow futures up 5, and NASDAQ futures are down about 13. And straight ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.